Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my love and I'm on the run.
Welcome back into the show. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy, live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Chris Dempsey of Altitude. And I believe, Angel, last segment I said Broncos. I meant Nuggets. It was a Freudian slip. I'm sorry. It's okay. It happens. Chris, how
no.
are you? Dude, I get to going, you know, and we start talking about craziness with sports, and then you never know. You just say the wrong thing a few times. You get it.
Yeah, I do. I have a radio show myself, and I've said the wrong thing about 1,000 times. So I completely understand.
Chris, what a wild day yesterday. Hey, let me ask you this first before we break into the Bones Highland stuff. Do you think the NBA should even play a game on trade deadline day?
Oh, it's a good question. Probably not, because those players aren't
It's so awkward.
I know. You have scenes like you saw in L.A. where all the guys are sitting on the bench, and in Brooklyn. I think we saw Mikal Bridges sitting on the bench in there. They're all in street clothes, and they're not ready to play yet, but they will be. But you also need time. I mean, these players, you know, it's you're uprooting their entire lives, you know, and so you know, they have to pack up and figure out family stuff. And, you know, in the case of some of these players, you're literally leaving, like the Phoenix Suns players who are now in Brooklyn. I mean, that's a huge trip, you know, and so, I think you're right. I'd never really thought of it that way, but it would give teams a chance to have players in place and maybe even playing, you know, the first game after the trade deadline. So that's something you wish the NBA would think about, that because also you have these teams giving away games that maybe they would have won if they had their guys.
Yeah, well, and Chris, it started actually because of Coach Malone's. I was watching the post game show on Altitude, of course, and I'm hearing Coach Malone like, yeah, it's been a long day. I've been on the phone pretty much off and on all day with Calvin Booth. Mm-hmm. And then I started, and obviously the Nuggets, you know, that was a rough game last night. And then I was watching Milwaukee and LA without LeBron. The Bucks were like 8.5-point favorites or something. The Lakers kept that thing like ridiculously close throughout most of the game. In fact, they were up by 11 at one point. So I'm just thinking, I'm you know, the Malone thing saying we've been on the phone all day. Like, these coaches, the focus just might be a little elsewhere that day, and that's okay. It should be, but then why even have the game?
Yeah, and quite honestly, to your point, the Nuggets played unfocused basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best way to describe what happened. And there were even a couple of people that I was sitting with. So when we do the studio show, we watch the games in a conference room. And there were a couple of people in there who were basically saying, even they even thought that, to your point, that Michael Malone looked a little distracted, maybe a little bit, you know, not all the way, all the way, you know, laser focused there. And I think that would have everything to do with just a 24 to let's call it 48 hour span of being on and off the phone and wondering what's going to happen and who's coming and who's going and getting advice and giving advice and doing all those things. And so now all of a sudden, but now you're also on a flight to Florida. So you're flying across the country and then you have to get up and turn around and play a game. And it seemed like yesterday, the only player that was actually laser focused was Aaron Gordon. It's interesting. I don't think the NBA has even thought about that, doing that for one single second, but they probably should.
I'm going to write a letter, Chris. I need your stamp and your signature.
Get that letter written.
It's just going to be, hey, maybe don't do the games on trade deadline day. And then that's it. And then we'll see what happens. Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude.
Sincerely Brady.
Also approved by Chris Dempsey. Yes. I'll just write that in print on there for you. Chris, okay, so I'm reading the Mike Singer Denver Post article last night, and I've been kind of thinking this. I think even when we talked to you last, we just kind of wondered if maybe, and again, you are on the inside there. You got all this stuff, and I know some stuff you can't even get out there when you know it. So I get that. But I was kind of thinking in the back, you know, that with that game against Oklahoma City when he goes out, okay, they say it's a finger injury. It seems like it was a little more than that, maybe. Was there a riff really building up between Bones Highland and the coaching staff and the roster?
That's a good question, man. You know, it's the hardest one to get at in full. Now, look, if you go back to last season, you'll recall that he was suspended for like a game or two. I can't remember how many it was. It was no more than two for an episode he had at practice, you know, kind of berating a coach and whatnot. So, you know, you have that kind of as a backdrop. And if there was more of that happening this season, then, yeah, maybe there was, you know, there's something to that. It's amazing to me how quickly it deteriorated. It really is. You know, I mean, because even if some of this stuff is happening behind the scenes, about a month ago, guy was still playing.
Right.
He was still in the rotation. And then all of a sudden, you're right, he has the finger, and, you know, he has, and so he starts missing some games, and then he's not playing consistently anymore, and then he takes exception to that, and then he just doesn't play anymore, and it just all falls apart, kind of like a house of cards, just immediately. And I wonder, you know, if, you know, I guess in my, no situation seems that untenable to me. You know, can you sit down and come to a common ground? Can you get to a player who you drafted and who A, was a second team all rookie, B, has played and now will play in the Rising Stars game 2 years in a row. So he's quite clearly talented. Can you get him into a space where professionally, as a professional mature person, he is also doing the things you want to do, acting and conducting himself the way you want to conduct himself in that arena as well. And there just seems to be an element to this where the Nuggets clearly just washed their hands of it. They just wiped them together and just said, okay, you know what? See you later. And the thing that really I think is, part two of this is I think some of this got out into the NBA.
Yeah.
Because when you have a player that's talented, that played some of the games he has, and what you got back was a couple of second-round picks for him, well, then what that just says to the reporter in me, from my former days, the reporter in me, it just says that these teams knew that you wanted to, you know, move on part ways from this player, and what they weren't going to do is pay full freight for you to be able to do that. And now you're in a situation where it's difficult to, move them and then get anything super significant in return. And so there's just a lot of stuff happening with the Bones Highland, situation. And I think everybody involved, it's just a kind of a bitter taste for everybody involved.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I do wonder, Chris, if that game against the Thunder, when he left like that, if word got out, kind of like, oh, Bones didn't just leave for an injury, he was upset. Michael Malone wasn't there. That he wasn't the head coach of that game. He was that was the COVID game, right, for him, wasn't it? So I just wonder, because a lot of people are upset. Chris, you know this more than anybody. You see it on Twitter. People love Bones Highland, and why not? He has this great charisma to him, and obviously at his highs was extremely fun to watch. So folks were mad on Twitter saying, why would you get just, you know, what'd they get? 2 second-round picks, future picks for him. That seems like just absolutely garbage. But then when you look at it and go back and say, well, maybe teams got a whiff of what happened on January 22nd and then what kind of continued after, where maybe Bones is a little difficult. And I would have never really thought that. Seeing him on the outward, just watching how he pumps everybody up and seemed like a good teammate. So I just wonder how much of that stuff got out where the rest of the teams are like, dude, we're not going to give you much more than a couple of picks.
Yeah, Brady, I think almost all of it got out. I mean that has to be the case. I guess I don't know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. I mean I can't say it with a certainty, but yeah, you kind of can, given what was coming back in return for who can be a really good player. And if he's that hard to handle, you know, then other teams are going to, they're not going to give you, super significant things because they feel like they're taking on a lot of risk themselves. And so if they risk, if they give you a, let's just say the Nuggets got a first round pick. So if the Clippers give you a first round pick, and Bones Highland goes there, and then he's kind of a malcontent there, and they have to, you know, somehow, you know, move on from him as well. Well, you know, what you're looking at is basically you are out a first-round pick, and nobody wants to be out, a pick like that. And so they're going to vet the situation, and people in the NBA talk behind the scenes. They're all talking to each other. Some of this stuff does get out, even if, a team is trying to keep it, behind closed doors. Some of it gets out, and when it gets out, it's a gossipy leak. And so, and then in the trade call, you look, you get the other general manager going to ask you point blank, okay, but here's what I'm hearing about this player. Is this true? And, so it was a very difficult situation, Bray. Because on one hand, you're right. I mean, you're talking about the charisma, Mile High City, baby, all those things. He connected with the crowd in a way that, like, I haven't seen a player do that for the Nuggets in a long while. You know, just immediately he energized the crowd. They just, he just brought something out of the fans at Ball Arena. And so, on one hand, he is a good young man. He does have a lot of positive energy. That is within him. And so at some point, what are you doing to kind of quell the other stuff and keep it everything positive? I wonder, I don't know. Maybe the Nuggets quite clearly thought that they did all that they could do and they wanted to move on from him. I guess we just have to take them at their word for that.
Well, and Chris, sometimes when you see a player, I was talking about this earlier, when you see a player like Bones with all that charisma, all the catchphrases and all the pumping up the crowd as a rookie, last year doing that as a rookie, it's all well and good. And we're all like, whoa, where did this dude come from? He's got a lot of spice to him. I like that. But there's a reason you don't see rookies like that a lot. Christian Brown's probably where most rookies are. They're just kind of quiet, hardworking guys. And I get it. There's exceptions. But then you also wonder, okay, to get yourself up mentally to be like that, you got to wonder, what's it going to be like when you don't have a reason to shout Mile High City, baby, and do all that stuff? How are you going to handle it? Because you're up so high. Can you handle it when there's bad moments? Can you bring yourself back up to just kind of middle ground?
Yes, exactly. And I was just saying this to somebody the other day. When you have a person that's emotionally that high, then when you're doggone right, when that pendulum swings the other way, it's going to be all the emotion to the bad side too. And so, I think the minute you start seeing a player and when you get him in and you start understanding how driven by emotion he is and just how much of himself that what it is, then you know that you're going to have bad moments. And so you should already be preparing for how you're going to handle it when he swings back the other way and all that pent-up frustration or anger or whatever it is now this avalanche of emotion on the other side, which is definitely for sure suffocating for a lot of people and very frustrating. And look, if there's five or six episodes of it, do you just roll your eyes and go, we just can't, and throw your hands up and go, we can't deal with this anymore? Or do you dig in and go, okay, but what we know is at the core of this young man, he is a good person at his core. He has gone through a whole lot of stuff in his life, including losing family members in a fire. And so I don't know how even keeled a person is going to be throughout the entirety of his life, especially when he's young, when you have gone through all the things that he has gone through already in his young life. And so it stands to reason that you're going to have these moments of insecurity, these moments of sadness, extreme anger, blurting out all this kind of stuff. And just how do you do How do you deal with it? Yes, you're going to have to punish them sometimes. Yes, you're going to have to, you know, you might have to suspend them and tell them you're not getting paid, not suspension with pay, suspension without pay. Whatever you have to do. But at the end of the day, you put your arm back around them and say, "We believe in you. We love you." It's like I have a 6-year-old son, and you know he does things that you're like, man, you're not the boss here. You know, and he has to be punished. But what you do is you give him the big hug and say, "But I love you, and this is going to be okay. I just need you to get on the path that we're all, that's very productive and positive for all of us." And I don't know that that was 100% the case with the Nuggets versus, you know what, we can't handle this anymore. And so now he's gone.
So, Chris, and this is, because I don't think I feel this way, but is that a mark against Michael Malone at all that he couldn't get his arms around him and basically say, hey, because I mean, you look at Bol Bol too. Bol Bol has since come out and said, I wish I would have worked harder when I was in Denver. Is that going to be the same thing for Bones going forward? Is there some kind of, and I'm not going to say concern, but at least question, where Malone pushes pretty hard, and some guys can't take it, like Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. Some guys can't. Is that any way a mark on Malone where he couldn't wrangle these guys in? And then if Bones does turn out to be a pretty level-headed superstar, we really regret that by Coach Malone and company.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's complicated for the head coach, too, because he's got so many personalities to manage. You know, he put Michael Porter Jr. through something similar, right? You know, so Michael Porter Jr., I guess this would be essentially his second year, because his rookie year, his first year, he didn't play at all due to the injury. So his second year, when he did play, he popped in some really good games where he played really well. Michael Malone would say, hey, we got to get this guy on the court more. He's a part of our future. And then he wouldn't put him on the court. And that really, really wore at MPJ. He went into a little bit of a shell. I mean, there was a lot of the same stuff, kind of, maybe not the blurting out and stuff, but you know, Michael Porter Jr. will kind of just go into a shell, and now you got to bring him back out somehow. By the end of that season, he was in a tough space, and he admitted it at the end. Even Michael Malone said it at the end of the season. He's probably like, this was a really tough season for Michael Porter. He didn't get the minutes that he wanted. And so from the standpoint of not getting the minutes that he wanted, that is similar to Bones Highland. Now, look, Bones had a hand in his own demise, obviously. You know, he actually came into this season with what would have been not just a defined role as the sixth man off the bench, no worse than the seventh man if you're going to count Bruce Brown and say he's a sixth man, but there was 20-plus minutes per game waiting for him just right there on the platter, given the work that he put on the court last year. But then defensively, when he wasn't, you know, doing everything that was asked of him, and you know, the quickest way to get in Michael Malone's doghouse is to not play defense, right? And then playing time started being stripped. Christian Brown started playing really well, and he is a defense for first guy. And as you said, he just puts his head down and grinds through every defensive possession, and that's just the kind of player he is. Well, Michael Malone is drawn to that, and Bones could never get himself back into good favor because he just wasn't consistently working as hard as he wanted to on the defensive end. And then, obviously, he was having these wild swings in his offense, 7 straight games of single digits, 7 straight games of double digits, 7, like it was – it was a roller coaster season in that aspect, plus the personality things that were happening, and that was Bones' hands in his own demise in Denver. I tend to think it's Michael Malone has a really great relationship with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, and he tends to be like, he sounds like he's a player's coach. He really prides himself on communication and being genuinely interested in their lives, not just on the court but off the court. And so I would have to believe the same thing with Bones. But some people, it's difficult to get to some people, and maybe this is just one of the players he was not able to get to.
Yeah, maybe so. And again, the great ones can kind of rise and get through that stuff, and typically you kind of see the other ones fizzle. Didn't even get a chance to get into the Thomas Bryant stuff. I'm excited about it. I'm up against a break, though, Chris. I do think the Thomas Bryant thing's going to be good. That was a need they needed, and they got it. So, at the end of the day, with all the drama surrounding Bones and then filling a need, I'm okay with it. It wasn't like the biggest news in the world for the Nuggets, but I didn't expect it to be. So I'm good today. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good too. I mean, Thomas Bryant's a good player. I hope they use him a lot. They quite clearly needed him off the bench yesterday in Orlando.
Yes, they did.
So maybe he'll be available in Charlotte.
Hey, let's get another 37-point game out of Aaron Gordon coming up soon.
That's fun. I mean, he was so, going back to Orlando, he was so fired up for that game, and you could see it. He played great. It's just too bad that they, Nikola Jokic was good in the second half especially, but nobody else was, and that's too bad for a team that the Nuggets should most certainly have beaten.
I'm writing my letter right now. No more trade deadline games, Chris. I'm going to submit it. All right, 5 seconds. Chiefs or Eagles? Who you got?
Eagles.
All
right. 30-21.
30-21. All right, there it is. Chris Dempsey, appreciate you as always, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, definitely. We'll see you.
All right, Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV, Altitude Radio, an amazing dude. 12:44 the time. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.